Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The foreign policy of the current administration, the Biden administration, has been pretty disastrous, certainly in that part of the world. There's a lot of mayhem that has ensued that would never have happened under President Trump's hand and watch. I don't think President Biden can take credit for anything happening over there. It's a great development to have Assad, a brutal dictator, taken down out of his position. But we watch with careful anticipation about what happens and develops there next.
Speaker Johnson, reacting to the foreign policy we've been watching flow out of the Biden administration for the last near 4 years, and I think you and I both know that it's going to look a lot different when Donald Trump is in charge. And the question a lot of people are asking themselves is, have we already seen the anticipation of Donald Trump from a foreign policy standpoint, being the president-elect? Watching President Trump on the world stage with the reopening of the cathedral at Notre Dame was a pretty significant event to take in. And I thought it was pretty amazing to see world leaders, including, of course, Emmanuel Macron, just very eager to talk to him, work with him. We've seen it with Justin Trudeau. We've heard about his conversations with Mexico. We've watched Donald Trump not yet assume the Oval Office, not yet take the oath of office, but it seems as though those world leaders see him as somebody who is going to be an active participant and a changer of expectations of America's relationship with the rest of those foreign countries. Let's talk to a man who knows all about it and is going to be a part of it. Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg joins us once again, former National Security Advisor to the Trump administration and co-chair of the Center for American Security at America First Policy Institute. General Kellogg, thank you for coming back on the show with us. Such an honor to have you back here.
Thanks, Danny. It's great to be with you. It always is. How are you doing? All right?
Well, we're doing okay. The Christmas season is upon us, and we say this with regularity with many of the guests that we have on. It's just a little easier to find yourself smiling throughout the day post-election with Donald Trump having won that election. You certainly are going to have an important role with this administration. How do you feel the president-elect is doing so far with his transition, and how is the world reacting?
Yeah, it's a great question, Annie. I think the world is reacting as I honestly thought they would, with one, a little bit of relief, and the relief in the fact that you have somebody who is a proven leader, because everybody kind of knows who he is and what he has done, and there's going to be some stability back in the world, and some very, very, what I think, positive leadership. And I think the world sees that. I see it as well. And I think the American people see it, too. That's the reason why I was not surprised about how the victory turned out. I mean, we were pretty confident during the campaign, in the late stages, that we were going to do quite well, especially in the swing states, and it turned out. So I think it's going to go good, and I think there's a lot of good things that are going to happen, and I'm very confident that this is just the start of it. And, you know, I was asked a question about a year ago. What happens if Trump wins? When will the change occur? 20 January, 21, 22 January? No, it's going to happen on the 6th of November. And I think I've been proven right that the world's kind of adjusted itself to his winning and what he's doing. So I feel pretty good about it. I think we should all feel pretty confident about it. I think good things are in store for America.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That's been my very novice observation as well. Interesting to watch President Trump on a national stage at the reopening of the cathedral at Notre Dame, be around some of these European world leaders. And there just seemed to be a general welcome towards Donald Trump that, I don't know, we've spent 4 years hearing that he's the worst man to walk the face of the earth. And then to see people welcome him in, and even the first lady sitting next to him not showing great disdain for him. Is the president poised to have an effect on his ability to, relate with the rest of the world, but also domestically in a better position now than maybe he would have even been had he won re-election in 2020?
Yeah, you know, I think he has a better opportunity to change than he did if he'd won back-to-back victories in a presidential election. I think it's actually was good for America that he lost that election, and then he's coming back on this time, because I think America realized, okay, we need a major reset. I think the pendulum swung so far to the left that America just said, whoa, wait a second. We didn't want it to go this far. Mm-hmm. And they realized kind of who he is as a person. And I think you see that when he was greeted in Notre Dame, that he went there and people responded to that in a very, very positive way, because they know who he is. You know, I've said this before, Annie. I know President Trump from being with him from 2015 on. I know that basically what I would call the private Trump. And everybody had it so wrong that looked at it externally that didn't really know him. I said, you missed some of the qualities about a Donald J. Trump. And I was pretty basic, and I've said this publicly. And I think I said, I'd ask your listeners to think about it this way. I said, you know, Donald J. Trump has been married 3 times. His first wife, unfortunately, has passed away, Ivana. But he's had 5 children from 3 different marriages. All of the children adore him. And I've seen that. They just adore him. As does his, obviously, his current wife and his previous wives as well. Tell me a family that's like that. Even the Reagan family wasn't like that. You know, Michael Reagan didn't like his dad at all. So he said, you know, maybe there's something about this family that you're missing. Maybe there's something about Donald J. Trump that you're missing on the personal side. And I think the personal leaders have seen that when he's a tough man. There's no doubt about it, he's a tough man. And he's a very demanding man, no doubt about that. But he's also got a pretty darn good heart. And I've seen that personally. And sometimes he doesn't want, and you and I have talked about this on a previous show, sometimes he doesn't want to show it, but it comes through. And I've seen that on a very personal level when he's acted with soldiers, when he's traveled to see soldiers, when he's traveled to be with people. He's got an incredibly common touch, which I think speaks well to him. And I say that, obviously it sounds partisan, and it is. But I said, I think this time a lot of people in America saw that, but it took that shooting in Butler, Pennsylvania, for them to realize the kind of guy he was when he stood up and said, fight, 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 and wasn't backing down, didn't cower, didn't fall to the ground, didn't, you know, rush to the car. He stood up because we didn't know, was there another shooter, second shooter, third shooter, fourth shooter? And I think Americans saw that, and they said, well, maybe we misread this guy. And then on the election, I think on 5 November, I think America said, all right, let's give this guy a chance. And I think now that everybody's kind of saying, okay, maybe we had him, some of us had this guy wrong. Let's see what he does. And I think it's going to turn out very well. I think, honestly, I've said this, been on the campaign trail. I think we're ready for a real golden age again. That's very pro-American. That's American first. And I think we're going to feel really good about being an American again.
Oh, it's such a positive and strong endorsement for President Trump. We're speaking with General Keith Kellogg here on the Andy Frye Show. I think of the way you're describing him and his toughness, and, you know, he could be a rigid person, but he also understands how to bend to make a good deal for America. All of that is summed up to me as respect. He commands respect from people. And that is something that I am presuming will be on behalf of America, that the respect for America, I don't know if it's too broad of a statement to say that people will respect America again, but there's definitely a different presence between the Biden administration on a foreign policy level and the Trump administration. Does the world begin to look at America differently?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When Trump is the president.
Absolutely. I think it's going to happen. It's happening already. When you see the people that are reaching out to him, adversaries and allies as well, but also the kind of the way the world is starting to settle itself in. And you're starting to see people starting to kind of settle, say, okay, we know America can be tough. This is where they want to be tough. You've got a very, very tough commander in chief. And I think you're going to see that. You know, I'm going to make a very bold prediction. I think you're going to see peace in the Middle East within the first 6 months. Yeah. I think you're going to see peace in Ukraine and Russia to a degree within the first 6 months. That's going to quiet down. I think the issue on immigration is going to be addressed immediately. I think you're going to see business confidence go way up. You're going to see a lot of things happen that are going to make Americans feel pretty good about themselves. I had a senator, a U.S. senator, I was at a lunch with him yesterday, and he said, you know, here's something really amazing. When he said it, I had to step back for a second and said, well, he may be right. He said the 2026 election will be determined in the summer of 2025. And I said, okay, I think I understand. He said, because if you make a positive national statement that you've got inflation under control, the economics, if you've got immigration under control, if you've got deterrence and stability under control globally, and it's all based on American leadership, that is going to carry forward. It was in a very perceptive comment, and I think he's right, but I think you're going to see that. That's Kellogg's prediction. Of course, don't have me on if I'm wrong, though.
Oh, we'll have you back. Everyone's allowed to make mistakes. That's why we keep having you back, because the clarity you're able to provide us is so there's so much depth to it. I think that you brought up Ukraine and Russia. Of course, we've seen the Middle East have tons of conflict. We're watching Syria really transform into something else. Specific to Ukraine, though, it's become such a political football to talk about Ukraine. And, you know, we've had military mm-hmm. people come on here who do advocate for sense in American involvement in that conflict. What is a reasonable, rational, objective expectation for the American taxpayer and voter to look at Ukraine and Russia, the conflict that exists there, and the money that's being sent?
Yeah, what if I said to you right now, no more American money is going to be spent in Ukraine? Is that a positive statement? And I think the answer, and it's rhetorical, the answer is yes. Because there's an ability. You know, Congress passed a thing called the Repo Act last year. And what that means is, and when I was in business, we used to call it OPM, other people's money. And the Repo Act basically used frozen Russian assets, billions of dollars, to pay for, and they're allowed to do so because the UN General Assembly, one week after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, declared Russia to be an aggressor state. Because they were declared an aggressor state, you could take certain economic actions. So use frozen Russian sovereign assets in the interest thereof and have them pay for the war. You can do that. So you can say to Americans, you're not going to spend another dollar there. None. So all of a sudden they go, oh, you mean we actually can do that? They said, oh, absolutely. And that's the reason why the law was passed. So let's just say no American money is being spent there. we're going to use American influence. We're going to basically Europeanize the war, meaning more and more European influence, get them more involved in it. Is that going to be a positive sign? Is that going to help? I think it will.
Yeah.
And if we say that to the American people, they're going to go, oh, I kind of get this one now. And I would venture to say that's kind of an approach we're going to take and see how it plays, because things are in place to do that. And I would, you know, I ask your audience, look, just look it up. Go Google the Repo Act that was just passed by Congress a few months ago and the ability to take Russian sovereign assets to pay for the war. It's not $100 million. It's billions of dollars. And I said, oh, so we don't have to pay any more American money? Nope.
That sounds good.
No American lives, no American money. And it's there. It's an ability to do it. I don't know why, honestly, this administration didn't do that when they had the opportunity to do it. I just don't understand it. But there's an opportunity to do something a little bit different. And I would say, let's just approach the world a little bit differently. Whether you like the Russians or not, you know, the fact of the matter is, it is always good to talk to adversary states. And people talk about, you know, as an example, people talk about, you hear them talking about, well, the Ukrainians fired, you know, missiles, American-made missiles into Russia. You know, how about the real escalation that nobody talks about? How about the fact that Russia has escalated by bringing a third country or second country physically into the ground? Third country because Iranian stuff is coming in there. But North Korean troops, it's the first time that's ever happened. That North Korean troops, that's your escalation. Not the U.S. escalation. And I challenge people to say, look at it rationally. Don't look at it emotionally. How does this work? How we, you know, Russia is it may be an adversary. By the way, adversary by doctrine is not necessarily an enemy, but an adversary state, how do we deal with them? Because they are a nuclear power. And how do we work with them in a rational way? And Donald Trump can do that. You know, one of the things that there's a great book by Peter Rodman called Presidential Command, and somebody who looked about multiple presidents. And he said two of the strengths of American presidents when they're successful, one is they do a lot of stuff of intuition because they know how to do stuff. And the second is they personalize it, meaning they reach out and they talk to foreign leaders. You got Joe Biden, who hasn't talked to Putin in 2 years. He hadn't even talked to, you know, really the Saudis almost a year. Trump would reach out to him all the time. You've got to do that as a president. And I think that's what you're going to see. That's how leadership is going to evolve. And I think that's going to make America better and stronger in the world.
You know, what I hear you saying is that the Trump administration is looking to starve Russia in this war economically. And it feels like the Biden principle has been significantly just to subsidize and fund Ukraine. So one of them involves throwing a lot of money at the problem. And the other one involves using the powers and authorities that exist to starve the oppressor in this particular conflict. Is it a fair assessment to say that Joe Biden hasn't been trying to stop the war?
Well, he hasn't at all. He said because there was no grand strategy on how to do it. Because he basically said, you know, we're going to continue to do what we're doing. Well, what you've actually done by doing that without having an end state, you've put Ukraine in a position of fighting an attrition war. I will tell you historically, in a military way, historically, you never want to get into an attrition war with the Russians. You just don't, because they'll beat you to death with number of manpower. They will absorb 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 casualties. They'll absorb that. Remember, they lost millions in World War II. It's the way they are. So you never want to get to that position. Well, that's where they got to. And that's what the Biden administration did. Said, okay, well, you know, I used to tell people on Capitol Hill, I'd say, you know, what you're telling me now by giving them all this money and equipment, you're willing to give them as much equipment as they can have to the death of every last Ukrainian.
Yeah.
I said, it's reaching a point, it's a demographic issue. You know, do you want to let them, you're basically bleeding them out. You know, I'll go back to what happened in World War One, and the Brits to this day talk about trench warfare in World War One, and they talk about the amount of young men they lost. They still call it the lost generation. Do you want to have another lost generation? And that's what you get in an attrition fight with the Russians. You don't want to go there. So they should have thought of a way to get out of this war, or at least solve this problem. And there's multiple ways to do it, and figure out how to stop it. I mean, this is the longest war in Europe since World War II. The casualties, I mean, look at the casualties of the Ukrainians alone are more than the U.S. casualties in Vietnam and the Korean War combined. Okay, this is just, it's a horrific war. And it's almost, you want to say, that's where President Trump is so right when he says, we've got to stop the killing. He's absolutely right. If you want to have a viable nation, you have to.
Wow. Well, I think he's putting the right people in charge to make sure that gets done. Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, you are a treasure to have on this show. We're very, very grateful to have a little bit of your time this afternoon. Thank you so much for being with here. Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. We appreciate you so much.
Thanks, Annie. Same to you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I it was everything I could do to say you fell victim to one of the classic blunders. Never get involved in a land war in Asia. But he's so serious and like close to the actual problem. I'm like, if he's not familiar with the Princess Bride, I will never be able to show face to Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg for quoting the Sicilian to him. So I didn't. But I am saying it to you because you guys know me. You know, I don't pretend like the Princess Bride is peak understanding of war strategy for me, which is why we have experts on. Yeah, when you think about the way he's setting this up, and we got to take a break here, but when you think about the way he's explaining the Biden administration strategy versus what the Trump administration strategy is, Trump's going to come in and try to starve off any assets and abilities that the Russians have to continue this type of killing. And Joe Biden's like, just keep writing checks to the Ukrainians, to the point where you hear Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg talking about it in a way that's like, OK, we can do this, but we're going to do it to the last death in Ukraine. Something's got to give. And the American people agreed in November. Thank the Lord. Quick break when we come back. I think Ryan's going to finish up his list of how to be a great Christmas party guest. So you're going to want to stick around for that. I promise you, maybe Ethan will come back in here and we'll have more conversation with him as well, if we're blessed in order to do that. Let's take a quick break. Vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Who's drones? Iran/China, U.S. government, aliens, or something else? Annie for our YouTube channel. Wiggins back in studio with us next.